Good morning. Always, always, always a joy to have you with us. And as we consider this morning's passage of Scripture that we'd like to look at, it is so familiar that you probably can quote it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. But as we look at it, I trust that we will do more than just quote it in our hearts and minds and say, okay, yeah, I've got that. But we will actually say, Lord, have I invited you into my heart? A lot of people go to church, but they've never invited him in. If the Lord Jesus is your Savior, if the Holy Spirit of God lives within, the next question is, does he feel at home? Does he feel at home? Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, chapter 12 presents four pictures of us as Christians. The first two verses we've just read presents us as a sacrifice on the altar. Then in verses 3 through 8, we're a member of the body. In verses 9 through 13, we're a brother in the family. In verses 14 to 21, we're a soldier in the battle. And so we see then that before we become a soldier in spiritual warfare and truly understand the depth of the relationships of being brothers and sisters in the family and a member of the body, there must be a total surrender of our bodies as a sacrifice on the altar. And that's why verse 2 says, don't be conformed to the world. That's exactly what the world is trying to do. Use its conforming power. But just remember, Christ has transforming power. And in essence, these two verses are saying, in response to all that God has done for us, we ought to give our bodies completely to him for sacrifice and for service. Now, the first two verses present the case of making our bodies and our minds available to God. Secondly, acceptable to God. And thirdly, adaptable to God. So the question is, have you made your body available to God? In other words, has there been a time in your Christian walk where you've actually presented your body to the Lord and said, Lord, this is your body. I want to give it to you. 1 Corinthians 7:4 talks about marriage and how that our bodies don't belong to ourselves as we get married, but instead they belong to our spouses. And just as our bodies are available to our marriage mates for children to be born, maybe, our bodies must be available to God to bring others into the family of God through our witness. So the Bible calls us the bride of Christ. Now, when the bride gives birth, it's uncomfortable. Well, I'm thinking of a natural childbirth here. It's uncomfortable. Obviously, it's inconvenient timing. I don't know of any child that was ever born exactly when the mother thought he or she would be born. It always seemed to be in the middle of the night. It's usually painful, but it's definitely rewarding. And the same thing is true when we, as the bride of Christ, give our bodies to our Lord. We present our bodies. Now, the Bible refers to the word present in the aorist tense in the Greek. That's speaking of an action at a definite time in the past that has present benefits. In other words, he says, I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's your reasonable service. And he says, once you've done that, that's a once and for all presentation. But it has future benefits. And obviously, making our bodies available to God leads us to verse 2, where we then become acceptable to God. And then, in the last part of verse 2, we become adaptable to God. As God's will is seen, we give our bodies and adapt them to God's will. Now, notice it starts out in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore. So basically what Paul is saying is, based on what I've already been talking about, it's reasonable for you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, what's he been talking about? Well, he's been teaching numbers of doctrines in the first 11 chapters of Romans. Chapters 1 through 3, he's been talking about our depravity. Chapter 4, we've been justified by faith. Chapter 5, our bodies are sanctified, set aside for special service. Chapter 6, we are to consecrate our bodily members, our eyes, our hands, our mouth, our ears, to God's service. That's chapter 6. Chapter 7, we have a two-nature problem that he's been talking about. But then chapter 8, victory through the Holy Spirit of God over that two-nature problem. And then in chapters 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul is teaching that God is faithful. And God is sovereign in all of his planning. And so we see 11 chapters then of doctrine. Now always remember that doctrine, that's Bible teaching, that precedes exhortation. In other words, once we've seen our depravity, our great salvation, our exalted position in Christ, then the exhortation to present our bodies for sacrifice and service comes in return. It's in recognizing what God has done for us that it becomes reasonable to say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? It's kind of like, remember Saul of Tarsus, when he recognized that God is obviously speaking to him out of heaven, and he says, what would thou have me to do? Now, that was the second question that Saul asked, because the first question was, who are you, Lord? And you see, the first thing that we have to settle in our hearts and minds are answers to the question, who is God? And when he recognized that God was Jesus was God's Son, the second question was, wow, what do you want me to do? In other words, how can I serve you? He wrote later in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. See, he was calling the Christian life one of sacrifice and one of service. So we note God's challenge to all believers. The first thing is that we are challenged to give an unbridled service to the Lord. It's the proper thing to do. I mean, God has saved us from sin and all of its penalties and from self and all of our problems. It's only proper to respond by saying, Lord, what can I do in response to such great love and compassion that you've shown me? What can I do in response? Somebody has said, I'll never be willing to die for him if I'm not yet willing to live for him. So the question is, are you willing to live for the Lord? Are you willing to give him your body and let him use your body, your lips, your mind, your eyes, your hands, your feet, for him, for his glory, for his purpose? Now, God has given us Holy Spirit gifts to enable us to do that. When I think about that, I'm reminded of a little church that I did a funeral in one time in back country area of Virginia. So we were walking around the church. We'd gotten there early. And so a little church, the auditorium, and a couple little rooms for Sunday school rooms, and that was it. But back in one of the Sunday school rooms, they had a listing of Holy Spirit gifts. And then they had a listing of the number of people in their church that said, yes, I have that gift. I thought, wow, this is interesting. I began to look at their gifts. One of the gifts that they listed was the gift of martyrdom. Martyrdom. Being willing to be killed for the Lord. And I thought, wow, five members in this little church believe they have the gift of martyrdom. But then they had another gift listed. It was a gift of poverty, which really isn't a Holy Spirit gift, you know. But I thought, man, five people are willing to die for the Lord. I wonder how many of them are willing to live in poverty. Oh. None of them had the gift of poverty. See, because that's right now. That's present tense. Whereas martyrdom is maybe down the road sometime, and if it ever happens, okay, I believe I've got that gift. But to serve the Lord right now with what I do have, with my money, or lack thereof. No, none of them had that gift. Well, it's not a gift. But see what I'm saying? You see, unbridled service. In other words, nothing is holding me back. Number one, it's the proper thing to do. Secondly, it's the practical thing to do. You see, the principles in chapters 1 through 8 are put into practice in chapters 12 through 16. And so basically he's talking about giving my body a living sacrifice. Dedication can be seen in three steps: the body, the mind, and your will. So first of all, give him your body. The Bible says in Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, that's your ears, your eyes, your hands, as instruments of righteousness unto God. So you can't give Christ your body until, first of all, you've given him your life. So you have to answer the question that I asked a few moments ago. Has there ever been a time that you have given him your heart and soul, that you've repented of your sin and ask him to forgive your sin and come into your life and totally turn you around? It's called salvation. Now you may say, well, Pastor Greg, I give my money to the church. You know, that doesn't impress God. Your talent, gifts, whatever you may think they are, they don't impress God. It's only when you give him your humble, repentant spirit that he can do something with you. So even before we get into the idea of giving him your body, have you given him your soul? Have you invited him in? Has there been a definite time that you have turned over control of your life to the Lord and said, Lord, I need you to save me. I need my life to change. If not, I would encourage you to do that this morning. Do that this morning. Once you do that, then we begin to understand it's not only the proper thing to do, but it's the practical thing to do. See, Jesus had to take upon himself a human body to accomplish God's will on the earth. In the same way, we have to yield our bodies to Christ so he can continue God's work through us here on the earth. The idea of yielding my body to God is the same thing that Isaac did when his dad, Abram, said, God will provide himself a sacrifice, and come to find out, Isaac was going to be the sacrifice. Isaac was old enough to fight and to run, but he did not. He willingly allowed himself to be laid on the altar and was ready to give his life for the Lord. That is what we're talking about. It's giving him my body. And so consequently, we see there's so much emphasis on what new message we ought to receive to have victorious Christian life, and we go to seminars and read books and go to conferences. It's not what you need to receive, it's what you need to give. Like your body, your mind, and your will. Well, we've reached the end of our time this morning. Join us in a couple of days as we continue to talk about not only the proper thing to do or the practical thing to do, but allowing God to use your body in his hand, however he wants, and wherever he wants. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.